Okay, so picture this. You're online comparing, car insurance quotes, right? And you find this like amazing deal from a company in another state, way lower premiums, better coverage. It's like no-brainer. You think you're about to save a ton of money.
Right?
But then this tiny little legal asterisk pops up, not available in all states. Talk about a total buzzkill. Have you ever wondered why that happens?
Well, you can blame a dusty old Supreme Court case from 1895 for that Hooper v. California.
Wait, 1895.
Yep.
Seriously, that's like horse and buggy times.
It is.
How can a case that old still affect how we shop for insurance online in like the 21st century?
It's a wild story, and it all boils down to this fundamental question: who has the power to regulate insurance, the states or the federal government?
Okay, so let's unpack this. Take me back to 1895.
Yeah.
Set the scene. Who's Hooper and what's this whole case about?
All right, imagine California in the late 1800s.
Okay.
No internet, no Tesla roadsters, just good old-fashioned steamships chugging along the coast.
Okay, I can picture it.
Our main character, Mr. Hooper, is an insurance agent in California trying to find the best deal for his client's steamship. He stumbles upon a fantastic marine insurance policy from a company all the way in Boston. Seems like a win-win, right?
Yeah, totally. Cheaper insurance, happy client. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, there's a catch. Back then, California had this law that said you couldn't get insurance from a company outside the state unless that company jumped through a ton of hoops to get licensed in California.
Oh, so it's like those annoying online forms you have to fill out, but like 1,000 times worse.
Exactly. And Hooper, thinking he's found a loophole or maybe just trying to make his client happy, goes ahead and secures the policy from the Boston company anyway, even though they weren't licensed in California. And that's where the legal drama begins.
Okay, so this seemingly simple insurance purchase ends up in the Supreme Court. Talk about taking a dispute to the highest level.
It did, because this wasn't just about one insurance policy. It became a battle royale between state and federal authority. California, flexing its police power to protect its citizens, argued it had the right to regulate businesses within its borders, even if those businesses were based elsewhere.
Okay, that makes sense. States have to be able to look out for their people, right? It's like how states set speed limits, they're protecting everyone on their roads.
Right. But on the other side, you had the Constitution's Commerce Clause, this big, powerful clause that gives the federal government control over interstate commerce.
And getting insurance from another state, moving money and contracts across those state lines, that definitely sounds like interstate commerce to me.
You got it. And that's precisely the dilemma the Supreme Court faced. What? A state's power to regulate business within its borders or the federal government's power over interstate commerce?
So who won this legal showdown? Did the Supreme Court side with Hooper and the freedom to do business across state lines, or with California and its desire to protect its citizens? This is the part where I need some popcorn because I know it's about to get juicy.
Well, get ready for a twist. In a decision that would echo through the halls of legal history, the Supreme Court sided with California.
Wait, seriously? They said it was okay for California to basically block its residents from getting insurance from companies in other states, even if those out-of-state companies offered better deals.
Yep, that's exactly what they did. And their reasoning might surprise you. They argued that insurance wasn't really commerce in the traditional sense. They saw it more as a personal contract between individuals and companies, not something that fell under the big umbrella of interstate commerce.
Hold on, that seems a bit like splitting hairs. Go on, moving money and contracts across state lines. That sounds like
Yeah.
commerce to me.
You're not alone. Many people felt the same way, and this decision sparked some serious debate, even among the justices themselves. In fact, one justice, a guy named Harlan, penned a fiery dissent that's actually super relevant to the world we live in today.
Ooh, a dissenting opinion. That's where it gets really interesting. Tell me more about what Justice Harlan had to say. Why was he so against the majority opinion?
Well, Harlan was all about individual liberty. He believed that people should be free to choose their insurer, even if that company was from another state. He saw California's law as government overreach, a blatant attempt to restrict people's freedom to enter into contracts with whomever they pleased.
He sounds like a true champion for individual rights. It's like he was almost predicting the future. Right? Because now with the internet and everything being so interconnected, these questions about individual freedom versus state control are even more relevant than ever.
You're absolutely right. Harlan was way ahead of his time. He was basically arguing that in a free market, people should be able to do business with whomever they choose, regardless of where they live or where the company is located. And in today's globalized economy, his arguments have aged like fine wine.
Okay, so we've got this major Supreme Court decision affirming states' rights to regulate insurance. We've also got this powerful dissent from Justice Harlan, who's essentially arguing for individual freedom of contract and warning against states getting too big for their britches. What happened next? How did things evolve after Hooper?
Well, buckle up, because the legal landscape was about to get even more complex. The Hooper decision didn't end the debate over state versus federal control of insurance. In fact, it sparked a whole series of legal challenges and legislative actions that continue to this day.
Wait, are we about to go down another legal rabbit hole? Because I am all in.
We are, and it's a fascinating one, because after Hooper, a whole bunch of new developments emerged, including a case called Paul v. Virginia, and then a few decades later, the McCarran-Ferguson Act. These all build on the foundation laid by Hooper and really shape the insurance world as we know it today.
Okay, you've officially hooked me. I have to know more about this McCarran-Ferguson Act. Didn't it have something to do with antitrust laws? Like, were insurance companies suddenly going to be treated like monopolies?
You're right on the money. The McCarran-Ferguson Act, passed in 1945, was a major turning point in the history of insurance regulation in the United States. And it all stemmed from those earlier cases, Paul v. Virginia, and our star of the show, Hooper v. California.
I knew those cases were going to come back to haunt us.
So how did they pave the way for this McCarran-Ferguson thing? What was so important about it? Well, remember how those two cases created a legal landscape where states reigned supreme over insurance? Everything was chugging along nicely until the early 1940s when, bam, the Supreme Court drops this bombshell decision in a case called United States v. Southeastern Underwriters Association. And in this case, they completely flipped the script.
Whoa, hold on, plot twist. What happened in Southeastern Underwriters that turned the insurance world upside down?
Well, in a dramatic departure from Paul v. Virginia and Hooper, the Supreme Court decided that insurance was, in fact, interstate commerce after all. And guess what that meant?
Let me guess. It meant that insurance suddenly became subject to federal antitrust laws. Like the feds were going to crack down on any insurance companies acting like they had a monopoly.
Bingo! It was a massive shakeup for the entire insurance industry. But here's the kicker. Congress wasn't exactly thrilled with this sudden shift in power. They'd gotten used to the idea that insurance was best regulated at the state level.
Yeah, it's not like Congress loves it when the Supreme Court overturns decades of legal precedent. Right? Plus, states had already built up all these intricate regulatory frameworks for insurance. It would have been chaos to suddenly switch to a federal system.
Exactly. So Congress, in a classic power move, responded by passing the McCarran-Ferguson Act.
Which basically said, nope, we're sticking with state regulation. Like a big undo button for the Supreme Court.
Precisely. The McCarran-Ferguson Act essentially reversed the Southeastern Underwriters decision and explicitly stated that regulating the business of insurance should be left to the states.
So Congress was like, we hear you, Supreme Court, but we're going back to the way things were.
Yeah.
It's like a legal tug of war where each branch of government is trying to pull the rope in its direction.
That's a great analogy. The McCarran-Ferguson Act essentially codified the principles laid out in Paul v. Virginia and Hooper, bringing us full circle and solidifying the state-based system of insurance regulation that we still have today.
Okay, so we've gone from Paul v. Virginia to Hooper to Southeastern Underwriters, and finally to this game-changing McCarran-Ferguson Act. It's like a legal roller coaster ride.
It really is. And it shows just how complex and ever-changing the relationship between state and federal power can be, especially when it comes to regulating industries like insurance.
So how does this epic legal saga from the past affect us today? How does Hooper's legacy impact how we buy and sell insurance in the 21st century with all our fancy technology and online marketplaces?
That's a fantastic question and the perfect segue into the next part of our deep dive, where we'll explore the modern implications of Hooper v. California.
Ooh, a cliffhanger. Our listeners are going to have to wait with bated breath for the next part of this legal thriller.
Welcome back to the deep dive, where we're untangling the long-lasting effects of Hooper v. California and how it shaped the insurance regulations we navigate today.
Right. We've journeyed through this whole series of like pivotal court cases and groundbreaking acts.
Yeah.
All stemming from that fateful 1895 ruling.
It's quite a story.
It is. We saw how Paul v. Virginia laid the groundwork.
Right.
And how Hooper solidified the concept of insurance regulation being like primarily a state matter.
Uh-huh.
Then we had that huge plot twist with Southeastern Underwriters,
yeah,
where the Supreme Court suddenly declared insurance to be interstate commerce.
It really did flip the script.
Yeah, and finally Congress swoops in with the McCarran-Ferguson Act, restoring order and reaffirming the state's control over insurance.
Right.
It's been quite a ride through legal history. So now let's fast forward to the present. How does this historical back and forth between state and federal power play out in the modern insurance world?
That's where things get really interesting, because while the McCarran-Ferguson Act still reigns supreme, the insurance industry, just like everything else, has been transformed by technology and globalization.
Okay, so we've got the internet, smartphones, online comparison tools, like a whole new way of doing business. Mm. How does that mesh with this like old school system of state-based regulation?
That's the million-dollar question. On one hand, you have this long tradition of states calling the shots on insurance within their borders, but on the other hand, you have consumers and businesses operating in a digital world that totally ignores those lines in the sand.
It's like two completely different worlds are colliding.
Precisely. And this collision has created a whole host of new challenges and debates. For instance, how do you regulate online insurance platforms that operate nationally or even internationally when each state has its own unique set of rules?
Right, that sounds like a logistical nightmare for both regulators and companies.
It can be. It raises a lot of thorny legal questions. For example, if you buy insurance online from a company that isn't licensed in your state, is that policy even valid? Who is ultimately responsible for protecting consumers in those situations?
Those are some pretty big questions. So how are these issues being tackled in the legal and regulatory arenas?
Well, there's no easy answer. It's a constantly evolving area of law with many differing viewpoints on how to strike the right balance. Some argue that we need a more unified federal approach to insurance regulation, one that's better suited to the realities of the digital age.
Right, that makes sense. Having 50 different sets of state regulations seems incredibly inefficient in today's interconnected world.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine trying to navigate 50 different traffic laws while driving across the country.
Exactly. And it can create unnecessary barriers to innovation and healthy competition. But then there are those who believe the state-based system has worked well for decades and that federalizing insurance regulation would be too disruptive and could lead to unintended consequences.
So it's a classic debate between consistency and potential overreach. I can see both sides of the argument. So where do things stand currently? Is there any movement towards a more centralized federal system?
There have been efforts to create more uniformity across state laws, but progress has been slow. One example is the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, or NAIC, an organization that develops model laws and regulations for states to consider adopting.
So it's like a way for states to collaborate and harmonize their insurance rules without needing direct federal oversight.
Mm-hmm.
A bit like a legal orchestra trying to play the same tune.
That's a great way to put it. It's an attempt to streamline things and make the regulatory landscape a bit less fragmented. But ultimately, each state still has the final say on whether to adopt those model laws.
Okay, so it's not a perfect solution, but it's a step towards more consistency. What about those online platforms we talked about earlier? Are there any specific regulations targeting them?
It's still a bit of a legal gray area. Some states have started enacting laws specifically addressing online insurance sales, but there's still a lot of uncertainty and variation from state to state.
So what does this all mean for consumers? What should people keep in mind when buying insurance online in this digital Wild West?
That's a crucial point. Consumers need to be extra cautious when buying insurance online. It's essential to verify that the company you're dealing with is licensed in your state and that you fully understand the terms of the policy you're purchasing.
Yeah, it sounds like doing your homework is more important than ever. Don't just click buy without reading the fine print.
Absolutely. You can't just assume that because a website looks professional and trustworthy, the company behind it is reputable and operating legally in your state. It's always a smart move to check with your state insurance department if you have any questions or concerns.
Great advice. So it seems like the legacy of Hooper v. California is still very much alive and kicking today.
It is. And it highlights the ongoing challenges of applying legal principles established in the 19th century to the complexities of the 21st century economy.
Especially when you consider how rapidly technology is changing the way we live and do business. It's like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole.
Precisely. And this raises a lot of important questions about how we should regulate industries like insurance going forward.
Right. Questions like, should we stick with this patchwork quilt of state-based regulations, or should we move towards a more unified federal system that can better handle the unique challenges of the digital age?
Those are precisely the kind of questions policymakers and legal experts are grappling with today. And it's not just a theoretical debate. These questions have real-world consequences for consumers, businesses, and the entire insurance industry.
So in a way, the story of Hooper v. California is still being written.
I think that's a great way to put it. We're still living with the repercussions of that decision, and its impact will continue to be felt as we navigate the ever-evolving landscape of insurance regulation in the digital age.
Well, it's certainly given us a lot to ponder, and I'm sure our listeners are just as eager as I am to see how this story unfolds in the years to come. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's bring it back to that fiery dissent from Justice Harlan. I'm dying to hear more about his arguments and why they seem so relevant today.
You're right. Justice Harlan's dissenting opinion in Hooper is a fascinating piece of legal history, and it offers some thought-provoking insights into the tension between individual liberty and state power. Let's dive into that in the final part of our deep dive.
We're back for the final part of our deep dive into Hooper v. California and its lasting impact on the world of insurance.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey exploring this landmark case, and you know how it shaped the whole power dynamic between states and the federal government when it comes to regulating insurance.
Right. We've seen how this case decided way back in 1895 still has repercussions today, especially as technology, reshapes the industry.
Absolutely.
So for this final part, let's circle back to something we touched on earlier, Justice Harlan's dissenting opinion in Hooper.
Ah, yes, Justice Harlan's dissent. A powerful and, in many ways, prescient argument that continues to resonate today.
Yeah, it feels especially relevant now considering the rise of the internet and the explosion of global commerce.
Absolutely. As we discussed, Harlan argued that people should have the freedom to choose their insurer no matter where that company is located.
Right. He believed that California's law, which basically prevented residents from buying insurance from out-of-state companies, was a total overreach of state power.
He did. He saw it as an infringement on individual liberty and a barrier to free trade.
And this was back in 1895, long before the internet made it possible to buy practically anything from anywhere in the world.
All right.
Imagine what Harlan would think of today's online marketplaces and digital platforms, where consumers can easily compare and purchase insurance from companies all over the globe.
Oh, I bet he'd be saying, "I told you so."
I know, right?
Yeah.
Harlan's dissent really foreshadowed many of the debates we're having now about the limits of state regulation in a globalized digital economy.
Absolutely. It's like he had a crystal ball and could see the future of commerce. He was warning us about the potential dangers of clinging too tightly to state boundaries in an increasingly borderless world.
So how does Harlan's dissent inform the conversation about the future of insurance regulation?
Well, it provides a really valuable framework for thinking about how to balance the need for consumer protection and regulatory oversight with the principles of individual freedom and open markets.
In other words, how do we create a system that allows consumers to benefit from the choices and efficiencies of a global marketplace, while also ensuring that they're protected from, bad actors and shady companies?
Exactly. It's a very delicate balancing act. And Harlan's dissent reminds us that we need to be careful not to stifle innovation and competition in the name of regulation.
It also highlights the importance of considering the long-term consequences of our regulatory choices.
Absolutely. Decisions made today about how to regulate insurance will have a ripple effect for years to come.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Hooper v. California, what are some key takeaways for our listeners?
Well, I'd say there are three main points to remember. First, Hooper is a reminder that the balance of power between states and the federal government is constantly in flux. Second, the case highlights the challenges of applying legal principles developed in a different era to the complexities of the modern economy.
Okay.
And third, Justice Harlan's dissent offers valuable insights into how we might approach insurance regulation in a way that both protects consumers and fosters innovation.
So as we navigate the future of insurance in this rapidly changing world, let's keep those insights in mind.
Absolutely. And let's remember the words of Justice Harlan, who urged us to embrace a vision of individual liberty and open markets that can truly benefit everyone.
That's a great point to end on. So to our listeners, we hope this deep dive has given you a better understanding of Hooper v. California and its lasting legacy.
And perhaps it sparks some new thoughts about the future of insurance regulation in our ever-changing world.
Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. We'll see you next time for another fascinating exploration of a different legal landscape.